So let's finish out with your 90-year-old man. Wow, this is really an interesting case.
Yeah, I thought you liked this one. So this patient I met when he had presented outside with decreased visual acuity and was thought to have optic nerve infiltration, and he was noted to have an elevated white count with circulating CLL. And they had done an MRI, which did not show any abnormalities, and a flow on his peripheral blood, again, was consistent with CLL. The lumbar puncture showed elevated protein and on two separate occasions showed significant enrichment for lymphocytes with a CLL phenotype with very minimal blood contamination. Now, I have to say, I'm usually quite a strong skeptic of LPs that show CLL because there's almost always blood contamination, and it's almost always the case that you'll get CLL cells from the peripheral blood contaminating the LP. But with this patient, the blood contamination was pretty minimal. The severity of his symptoms was quite high. And then we also worked him up otherwise, and we found that he had an aggressive phenotype CLL, unmutated IGVH, 11Q, and complex karyotype. And in fact, on PET scan, he even had some lymph nodes with SUVs in the 6 to 7 range, which is a little bit high for newly diagnosed CLL. So it was also, in addition to being very careful to rule out an infection causing the lumbar puncture findings, you also have to make sure they haven't transformed. Certainly anyone with parenchymal disease on MRI needs a biopsy of that to rule out transformation. But in this case, he didn't have parenchymal MRI disease and had the elevated SUV on his PET, so we biopsied the abdominal node, but it was consistent just with his CLL, again, consistent with the aggressive CLL phenotype. So we've been using ibrutinib for our handful of cases in which we're convinced that CLL is involving the CNS, and we've had quite good luck with that. Ibrutinib does have excellent CSF penetration, although at the 420 dose, it's a little bit low. And so we usually use the 560 milligram lymphoma dose, even for people with CLL, and then you get solid CSF levels.
Is ibrutinib being used right now in primary CNS lymphoma?
Yes, that's actually part of how the fungal infection issue was identified. The study at NCI initiated single-agent ibrutinib and had multi-agent chemotherapy and steroids, and they had a very high rate of fungal infections. And so it does have excellent activity in that setting. And they actually dose-escalated significantly more in that study.
And what's this man's current situation?
He's doing very well. He actually has tolerated his ibrutinib very well. He was in excellent physical condition for his age when he started, but he has not really had any significant side effects. He was feeling generally unwell in addition to his optic nerve symptoms, and the general unwellness has gone away in his case. So he definitely feels better, and his visual symptoms have completely resolved. His visual acuity is back to normal. We did, I should say, when we were working him up, we had given him 5 days of high-dose steroids and low-dose radiation, and then we started the ibrutinib when we finished the workup.
I was going to ask you at age 90 how he tolerated the methylprednisolone, and also by the time you started the ibrutinib and he'd already had this radiation that you were giving to his eyes, did you see any change in him or any tolerability problems with the steroids?
He actually did fine. He had some minor elevation in his glucose, but it wasn't a big problem. We saw some minor anti-tumor effects. He had some mild improvement in his vision, but we started the ibrutinib pretty quickly after the 5 days of steroids and the radiation, probably a week to 10 days. So the radiation was probably still having some effect, but there's clearly been ongoing resolution over the first couple of months, I think, associated with the ibrutinib. And his LP, we've repeated his LP again recently, and that's completely cleared. It's normal now.
Interesting.